This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Glad to be with you here on this Friday, TGIF, as we get you ready for a sports weekend. Glad to be here. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster, Max Power producing. He's got the KFH hotline at 869-1240. We have video streams able and ready for you to leave comments on Facebook, YouTube, X. Lots of different ways to get in touch with the show. If you're listening to us on the Odyssey app, even if it's not live, you can hit the little microphone. Leave us voice messages. Glad to talk to you that way as well. Glad you're here with us, however it is you listen to the program. We'll give away some HTO a little bit later today in the program, getting you ready for the weekend. The Royals continue to struggle. Lots of portal stuff to talk about. Tommy, how are you?
Happy Friday. Happy Easter weekend to the kickoff of that weekend. Busy weekend. A lot going on. I know a lot of folks have family things going on and, you know, all of these different events for the weekend. So getting ready for it, ready to kick it off today.
Yeah, it's a great weekend. We may get a little rain, which would be great. You know, we've needed that for a long time. So all kinds of good stuff happening out there, unless you're a Royals fan. We'll get into Kansas City's recent struggles. And, you know, we're starting to get to the point here. I was feeling all right a few days ago. Now we're starting to see some stuff that we kind of just need to. It needs to be done with the Royals. We'll have Jalen Thompson in to help us discuss that. We have a lot to get to with Jalen Thompson today. That is for sure. He'll be in the next hour with us. But anyway, you know, it's baseball, Tommy. You know, there were a couple weeks ago you were panicking about your Atlanta Braves, and you know, things eventually work themselves out.
Well, no,
out,
I mean, don't kid yourself. I'm still worried about my Atlanta Braves. They're
five,
not
5-13.
Yeah, they're not good. They've made some changes, and I'm still concerned about them.
But at least it's not 0-18. You know, and the Royals right now at 8-12. You don't want to let the problem is you can't let this Detroit series get away from you. Like if you lose two out of the next three to them, you're going to be 5.5 games back. Here on April, well, you know, what would that be by April 22nd? And there are things that we should be worried about with the Royals, I think. Is it overwhelming? No, I just like this streaky team, like this is a long streak of this not scoring any runs business that they've got going. And it's a little frustrating because they've been pitching well enough to win a lot of these games. It just can't get a clutch hit to save their lives right now. What did you send me last night? One for 21, one for their last 21.
One for 22.
Scoring position.
Yeah, since Monday, the Royals are one for 22 with runners in scoring position. That's not going to get it done. I think that, and I know we'll have a lot more talk about the Royals as the show goes on, but I think the biggest concerning thing in this particular series is that we're talking about a divisional opponent in the Tigers. It was one thing when you lost to the Yankees and they're outside of your division, and it hurts your overall record, but you're not directly losing head-to-head matchups with teams that are ahead of you in the standings in your division. They lost last night to the Tigers and looked pretty feeble while doing it. That's not good when you're dealing with a team that's above you in the standings, and they can, you know, the Tigers have the opportunity to widen their lead throughout this series if the Royals don't get it turned around.
Yeah, I don't want to overly worry about it. I got to know why they're not doing everything they can to get Cags called up. That's what I got to know. And we're going to try to get that answer from Jalen Thompson. It's a team thing, right? First inning yesterday. First inning. Get a couple runners on, less than two outs. Do nothing with it. And Salvi at the plate, right? And Salvi at the plate.
Yeah, Salvi's not been good lately. Salvi has not been good lately. And there were multiple situations like that. Was it the fourth inning when they had the bases loaded and one out and Drew Waters and Kyle Isbell had the second and third out and they couldn't get any runs across? And then same thing in the sixth inning. They had runners in scoring position again, and it was Waters and Isbell that couldn't come through and deliver. This is happening a lot where they're getting runners on base and in scoring position, and then they're not able to get them in.
We'll see if they can figure it out. They get right back at it today. It's a frustrating, I don't know, like, what's more frustrating? There probably isn't a good answer to this. Like, when you just, like, I would still contend the most frustrating thing in baseball is bad bullpen, but this is pretty damn frustrating, right? Like, this is pretty ridiculous. The problem too is that was the Tigers pitcher you want to get a hold of. Now you go Joe by Scooble. They're three young guys that can really pitch. I mean, the Royals have their guys up there too. Reagan's tonight and then Lugo and Waka this weekend, but you had a decent opportunity last night and they didn't take advantage of it. And again, we got to look at this too. These are good teams. They're playing on the road. It's no different than what they struggled with last year or any other team in baseball. It's just a combination of things right now. And this is a 10 game stretch that, I mean, I don't think there'll be another 10 game stretch the rest of the season, at least on paper, that's any worse than this, to go to Cleveland, New York, and Detroit in back-to-back series. So we'll see. My guess, Tommy, is they'll get back home. They'll start to hit a little bit. They'll play teams that aren't quite as good, and then we'll be like, okay, everything's fine. But
you can't let it snowball. You can't let the offensive struggle snowball. And look, you mentioned this a minute ago, and I want to bring it up. I like Jack Caglione just as much as the next guy. I think he is outstanding. He's hitting the cover off the baseball. Ticker tape, you know, home runs in Double A, all of that. It's amazing. He's fantastic. I want to caution anybody who puts the hopes and dreams of this Royals offense on his shoulders to come up and turn things around. Can he help them if the Royals call him up? Absolutely. But that can't just be the one thing that we point at and say, that's going to solve all the Royals' problems offensively. It will help, certainly, but there are problems that go well beyond Jack Caglione.
Yeah, I mean, it might help. But, like, if he gets called up, he'll be the team's probably, like, fifth best hitter. Like, I don't want to overstate it either. I just can't believe, when you've watched this corner outfield situation for a couple of years, that they're not at least trying to help. Like, you've got this thing happening here. And this young player who is young and who is, you know, you never know with college guys who are as seasoned as him. Sometimes they can come up and just be immediately great. More often than not, it takes them, you know, like a year to level that swing out and get used to big league pitching and learn how to. Wyatt Langford, I think, is a good comparison for Jack Caglione. And it took him a year and now he's great, you know, but it you've got to be able to acclimate. So, no, I agree with you there, but he can help. And right now they need help. And he can help not only potentially, positionally, if they can teach him how to do it. This team is power deficient. Now, we knew they would be power deficient. We knew that was never going to be the strength of this team, right? They're not a power team. It's a power bat. That's his thing. That's what he does. So there's a lot of things about that that could make sense. And when we're watching what we're watching, it's like, okay, if you're ever going to hit the, you know, if you're ever going to hit the fast forward button with a 22-year-old, again, he's a college seasoned player, it's probably the guy you should think about. So we'll get the latest on that with Jalen Thompson. The Chiefs also talked yesterday about the NFL draft. Want to get onto some of Brett Veach's commentary about what they might be expecting. And then again, of course, all that portal news that's just never ending. It's nonstop. It's impossible to keep up with. The Shockers add one. KU has one that Tommy and I have a sneaky suspicion they'll be in on. We'll get into all of it. So make our way through. Stick with us. A couple hours with you today here on Sports Daily. Come right back.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back into Sports Daily, everybody. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here with you. I'm, you know, griping to Tommy off air. First world problems, I suppose. We had a power outage yesterday, which is fine, and that wasn't a big deal. Man, I got on to try and work, and I don't know if this is related or coincidental, but since that happened, like my web browser and all of the things in it, passwords, everything, gone. Nothing's logged in, and I don't have the saved passwords for things. And that is crippling, and it's embarrassing that it's crippling, but my God, like I can't get – it's like – it's just like a you know, the old taking a drink out of a fire hose thing. I'm like, God, I can't. Like every time you try to do something, you're like, oh, that's not auto logging in. Now what do I do? When was the last time I logged into that?
I guess it would be, you know, the easy fix around it is just do what I do and have all your passwords be 12345, and then you'll just be, it'll be solved.
Yeah, I always laugh. You know, we do these stories. We do them on TV every day, and they're right. Like have good, robust, complex passwords that, you know, do all these things and they're great. And it's just, and then all of a sudden you look at it and you're like, and we've even had like tech stories where, and I'm laughing at this too, Tommy, like I just got the video stream up. Apologies, everybody. The video stream is now live. It was not live till right now. Product of what we're talking about right now, because I'm like frantically, I'm like, Tommy, I can't get into the video stream. Like what is happening? And so either way, so we run these stories and we're like, you have to have these robust passwords and here's how you can come up with this incredible pass. And I'm like, guys, we have to log into 684 things How is that possible to even do that? And I give it my best college try to mix them up a little bit and do all this stuff. That is not reasonable. And so then, even if you did that, and you're like at your home computer and you save it all, and something like this happens, all of those passwords that you'd never remember that you made so complex are gone.
Well, and now, and you know, you've got, you know, obviously all of your personal things and all the passwords for all the personal things. But then, like, you also have to layer in a lot, and I have to do this. A lot of people have to layer in work platforms and work passwords. And, you know, and like our company, and I totally applaud them for this. They want to avoid hackers and they want to avoid bad actors and things like that. So they make it relatively complicated, and you have to change your password every 90 days and like all these other things that are going on, which I appreciate all of that. But then, you know, you've got to try to remember what you're doing on that side and remember what you're doing on your personal side. It can be a lot.
It's an anywho. So that, you know, if you see me freak out, man, today on the show, that's why. Because, I mean, all of it. I'm like, all right, let's hop on Twitter so we can do this, and let's hop in our video platform so we can do this, and let me open up that email and the work portal, as you're mentioning here, and I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. But we're surviving. We're surviving on a Friday.
If it makes you feel any better, you know, you have to deal with that, and I told you about this yesterday. I got to deal with the DMV today, you know, which is always fun, especially on a Friday. So you and I were talking. I've got to get in line. I got to text a number here at 7:30 to get in line for the DMV. And then as soon as they call my number, I got to go to the DMV. So my hope is, because lines are usually long and it's very slow, that it will be after the show is done. But, it, you know, like we're late on the video stream and you're frantic. If you see me just get up and leave at one point during the show, that means I'm going to the DMV.
Well, you can call us while you're driving.
Deal.
I mean, there's ways we can work on it. So I don't know. Are you like Sedgwick County does a good job of this, and I don't know if this is helpful to you at all, but there is a way to schedule a DMV appointment, essentially, like the tag office. You can set the time that you're going to go in Sedgwick County, and it's life changing, because you just show up at your time and you're at the front of the line. It's the best thing ever.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm about 100 yards away from the county line, and I'm in Butler County. So fortunately, I don't have to drive to El Dorado, which is nice. There's a Western office, which I do appreciate. But that option has not made its way to Butler County as of yet.
Well, that's too bad. Shout out to Sedgwick. And by the way, if you're in Sedgwick County and you have to do that, like you can't even really get there anymore. They're so busy. You go online. Schedule an appointment, you set it up, and you show up, you move right to the front of the line, bing, bang, boom, you're in and out of there in no time at all. So life hack there if you're dealing with Sedgwick County Tag Office. Sorry for those who do not have that technology, but it's great. Anywho, here we go, right? We're live here now on the air, which we have been, but on our video stream as well. You can leave us your comments there. We haven't gotten a lot accomplished today. We haven't missed much. We just griped about the Royals for about 5 minutes there in the first segment. And we'll go back to that because we have Jalen Thompson coming a little later in the show. You know what I get to do to follow this technology nightmare? I'm going to go lay mulch for about 6 hours after this. You own your own business. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to do it myself. So I got to go lay mulch at stores, back at the house. I'm going to need a Crestview Country Bar visit. Crestview Country Club bar visit tonight. Get in there and soak it up a little bit.
At least you don't have to worry about 93 degrees and windy 30-mile-an-hour winds like we had yesterday.
Yeah, it's intentional that today the weather will be good today. It's enjoyable. I haven't got to Hank Hill much yet this year. So this will be like the first toe dip into the water of yard work. But it doesn't feel the same when you have to do it for businesses and don't get paid for it. That's not quite as enjoyable, but we'll be doing that. And yeah, maybe I'll be at Crestview for those listeners who are there tonight as it just like with a dead back and I'm sitting there and I'm soaking it up. We appreciate their support. Get out to Crestview. Give them a call. Check out the facilities. They're fantastic. 36 holes of golf, which are very usable now. Be a great day for golf. Wish I was doing that. All right, so let's talk portaling. Jordan jumps right in on X, and we appreciate this, Jordan. With the last 4 or 5 scholarships, Wichita State's left, what type of players from the portal should they go after with the roster and type of players they currently have? Jordan, okay, so I'm glad Jordan says this. Jordan's excited about the player yesterday out of Temple. Unless I missed one, Tommy, that's got to be who Jordan's talking about now, correct?
That's right.
So I am not quite as excited. Dylan Batie, he was a nice high school prospect, but he didn't do anything at Temple, who plays in the same league as Wichita State. So I don't know. I would say, to answer Jordan's original question with what do they need to do still, I would say go get experienced players who can fill it up already, right? I've never been a big, and I don't know that this has worked for a lot, like, oh, this guy was a great high school prospect, but it wasn't working out at his college. Like, that, I don't remember a time. Like, I would rather see guys that it has worked out in college. Yeah, does that make any sense? Like, I like the idea of a top-end prospect, but they have 3- and 4-star unproven players. I need some guys there that are proven that can fill it up a little bit with those last spots.
For me, I think it's pretty simple that even with the addition of Batie, there's not a player currently on the roster for Wichita State that is taller than 6'8". Like, they need a big. That's the biggest priority for me. They need a big. There's still no, and this is according to Taylor Eldridge, there's still no word on Mate Bozniak and if he'll return to the team. And let's be real, when he did play last season, he was ineffective for the most part. And so, like, that to me, that's not a needle mover, even if he does come back. And if he does, if he can take a step forward this offseason, that'll be a nice development, but I'm not banking on that. They need a big. They need somebody with some height. They need somebody with some size. They need somebody that can go up and get, you know, rebounds and that sort of thing. Because even Dylan Batie, and I know it was limited time for him at Temple last season, you know, he averaged under 2 rebounds a game at 6'8". And then from there, you know, you've got the incoming freshman Noah Hill from Sunrise. I don't know how much he's going to play this season as an incoming freshman. He's also 6'8". You know, but Caron Boyd, I mean, he averaged, you know, a little over 7 rebounds a game. I mean, that's nice, but he's only 6'5". So I think that you really need a dedicated big on the roster, and that should be, at least in my opinion, where Paul Mills is attacking the portal next.
Yeah, they don't have a center. Like, they don't have one. And they've had Quincy Ballard there for the entirety of Paul Mills, I believe, at Oral Roberts operated with true centers. So they need one for sure. There's no doubt about that. And I assume there are some out there. It's an interesting roster right now. I'm not making any proclamations about the roster, just that it's a bit unproven is all. And, you know, last year, the roster coming in was very proven, right? We knew what we were going to get out of that team. There wasn't a lot coming in or out, and there were a couple of players, and they were proven players. So, you know, we got into it, and like you see Corey Washington come in, and Corey Washington was a proven player at a program, and they made an NCAA tournament and all those things. So now we get into it, and, you know, Keandre Kendall was a JUCO second team All-American at Barton. You like that. Kenyon Giles has, you know, he's right now, he's probably your headline guy. Boyd, we know, is in for defense. But when you look at a guy like Batie, and Taylor Eldridge wrote that he's, you know, Mills liked him out of high school. He's not, to me, all that different than Zion Pipkin or TJ Williams or Noah Hill, who you mentioned. Those are all sort of high school guys in that range. So it's harder than ever now in college basketball to try to, like, guess at what are those guys going to do, right? What is the development look like in an off season for a young player? We almost never get that anymore, because now it's like, you got to go and get your players from small schools early. Like, the young players that fit this range growing within a program of the status of a Wichita State, it just doesn't happen as often anymore, because if they do grow, they're probably not going to be there the next year, right? That's the reality of it. And that's not just Wichita State. I mean, it's everywhere. Haggerty is in the portal for Memphis. Like, there is so much craziness to this. This is peak chaos. This is peak chaos. Matt Norlander said yesterday that there are schools assembling $10 million plus rosters. I mean, it is wild, wild stuff right now. You got a coach saying he thinks there are 20 or more schools in the $7 to $9 million range, bad players playing for big money. Like, I don't know what programs are supposed to do right now because of what's being promised to this kids. It feels inevitable that those promises are going to be broken, that money isn't actually there. And so all the bad actors, as you've heard Kevin Saul call them over the past couple of years with us, like, there's just going to be a lot of people lying, promising things that isn't delivered. And this is where, like, we've hit a fever pitch. I think this is the peak. I don't know if it ends after this year, but I would say this is the worst it will get. And then it will begin to get better.
I think it does bring up a really good question if that's the case. And, you know, I don't disagree with Matt Norlander and what he's saying. I mean, I believe it. I don't doubt any of the stories about large budgets and all of that. But I think it brings up a really good question as it relates to Wichita State. Knowing that it is pure chaos and knowing that there are no guardrails and that things are just, it's like the wild, wild west out there. Does that give Paul Mills a longer leash for success? Should we give him, you know, the benefit of the doubt and some grace in this time period until things settle down and there are actual, you know, guardrails and regulations and you know, a blueprint on how teams and schools go about NIL and building a roster? Should we give him a hall pass until that's all said and done because things are just so chaotic right now?
Should
the fan base, should Shocker Nation, I think the university will, for sure.
The university will. Should we? That's an interesting question. Every coach is operating within this. And I don't even know outside of, you know, the really premier programs, what coaches can really do to help it. Right? Like, a lot of this, I think, is happening even outside of the realm of what a coach can control or handle. So should we? I think you have to evaluate it more on what you see on the floor, right? Like, the concerning thing for me is back-to-back years of dreadful conference play out of the gates. Why did that happen? How does that happen? Why does that happen? How did that happen? Right? Especially last year when we know that team was pretty good. So, that, you know, I look at more of that kind of stuff. I don't think Paul Mills has a whole hell of a lot of control over who they're able to bring in through the portal. Now, he can go try to pick players, but you've only got what you've got, right? Like, you can't outspend money you don't have. So I think that part of it isn't as, you know, that's more big picture stuff. I don't think that's something. I think we have to look at, how are these players developed? Are they consistent? I thought one of the really great things Paul Mills did last year that he deserves a ton of credit for, and where I was kind of like, okay, was when Wichita State changed its identity in the middle of the season. And so, you know, they were good playing a certain way through the non-con. Then they got into conference, had that really terrible stretch. They kind of redefined themselves and got really good again in a different way. I think that was as impressive as anything Paul Mills has done in his 2 years at Wichita State. So those are the kinds of things I think as fans, when it comes to coaches, we have to try to look at. And that's different than, you know, how we might evaluate Bill Self at Kansas. Bill Self's going to be able to go get the players that he needs to go get. Right? His situation's a little bit different. So we probably do need to look at that a little bit differently. And it's program to program. And Wichita State, again, the old chicken and egg, they've got this dilemma where they need these funds to be able to go get these players, but they need the fan base motivated enough through winning to get it done. It's a hard time. Again, I think this is the worst. Like, this is it. This is the peak of the bad with the portal and all this stuff. If it lasts another year, I guess I wouldn't be all that surprised. But I think, let's call it 3 seasons from now, and I hope it's 2, this kind of offseason is done. Like, this is the worst of it because it's just not realistic. It's not sustainable. These kids are going to have broken promises. You can put it in ink that we will be hearing stories this time next year about all the kids that were promised something and it wasn't given to them. It's happened in some of the other sports at lower levels. You're going to get some high profile stuff like that happening. There's no question. There's no way that this kind of money can get flung around like this.
Well, and then I also think that you're going to end up having, on the flip side, you're going to have universities, you're going to have NIL collectives, and all the different things that go into paying these players. You're going to have them probably realize at some point that some of their investments were not very well thought out and not good investments on their part. Their return wasn't there. So I think that I always have been, and I think you are the same way that I am. Our philosophies in life are probably about the same. I'm a free market person, right? Like, let the market dictate how things go. That's the way I've always been. And there is a part of me from a free market perspective where I'm like, you know what? Let them overpay for these players
actually pay them.
Right. Well, for sure. Like, let them overpay for them. And then they're not going to get the return on their investment. And then naturally, at least I would think, and maybe oversimplifying it, the market will start to go down and it'll settle itself out. But I do think that in the interest of expediting the process and getting us to a point to where it's quicker, yeah, somebody's going to need to step in and put guardrails in place.
We're talking portal. We'll get to KU in just a second because there's a player in there. Tommy and I both have a sneaking suspicion they may be getting in on a couple other things. I think Jordan's got a good conversation going here. He asked how we think Greg Marshall would have done in the transfer portal era. I think, in fairness to it, there was a long time ago where I thought, I don't know. It's a good question. It's one that people ask all the time, Jordan, honestly. I think that there's probably two paths there. One, I envision a path where he could cherry pick older players that he liked to fit and buy in. And I think there could have been a chance for great success. I also think about the level of momentum the program was feeling in those peak years and the amount of money he potentially could have spent. At the same time, I also remember the transfer issue really started rearing its head at Wichita State toward the end of Greg Marshall's time. And so I don't know that no program in the country is keeping its players right now consistently. I shouldn't say no. That's hyperbole. There aren't very many programs in the country that are able to retain players right now in the current state. So a couple of years ago through NIL and the portal, I think is different than right now. It's interesting. Like, Bill Self in Kansas, as we make that transition, have retained players over the past couple of years better than anybody. It didn't work out for them, right? But Houston did too. But, Houston brought in LJ Cryer. Auburn brought guys back, but those were guys that at one point had transferred in. So, I mean, it's really hard to try and take any consistency out of what we're seeing because it's so inconsistent. Case in point, Memphis is going to lose Haggerty now. I mean, Shocker fans know well, PJ Haggerty is a baller. And he's a second team All-American. Penny doesn't usually lose guys like this. Penny goes and takes them. Penny's getting a little of that. Kind of probably makes Shocker fans feel pretty good. So Haggerty's in. 20 points a game. Dude's a baller. We saw him just shred Wichita State at times. Tommy, the second you sent me that yesterday, what was the first thing I said?
Probably somebody that Bill Self is going after. You and I were talking about the same thing yesterday.
We had the same idea. And I think the reason isn't that it's just a good player. The reason for me is they haven't gone and thrown that big bag at anybody yet. They probably did to some degree to Flory Badunga. But the guys that KU has brought in so far are not like the premier dudes. Now, of course, Darren Peterson is going to be expensive. He'll be a top guy probably as far as compensation. So they have them. But man, when I saw Haggerty and I think about what KU could really use on this roster, I would be stunned if they're not one of the teams most aggressively pursuing him. And I don't think it's a coincidence that KU has maybe held on to, you know, some of its eggs and not put them all in one basket yet.
I think the biggest question mark that I have on all of this is, what is Haggerty's appetite to play off ball? Because by all accounts, the main guy, the main ball handler for Kansas is going to be Darren Peterson. But I do think that if you can combine Peterson and Haggerty and have them sort of go back and forth, like maybe sometimes Haggerty handles the ball, sometimes Peterson does, the other one plays off ball, that would be an insane combination offensively for the Jayhawks. I just don't know what Haggerty's appetite is. And honestly, to be completely real, outside of the Wichita State games and the American tournament, I didn't really watch a whole lot of Memphis, and so I don't know off the top of my head how often P.J. Haggerty played off ball and how much he was the primary ball handler for the Tigers. I'd have to go back and look at that, but that would be my only question mark. I do think from a overall holistic point of view, it does make a lot of sense, and the fact that you've got one of the best scorers in the nation entering the portal, and you've got the Jayhawks who are in desperate need of a scorer and they haven't filled that spot yet. To me, it just kind of seems like this sort of thing has potentially come together and the stars may align to where this could make a whole lot of sense.
I think it makes sense because he's a really good player. I don't know if he's the right fit. Man, it's hard to not see him as a fit somewhere. I just like KU. The question is probably more about like what Rick is asking us on YouTube right now, which is he's a scorer and a ball dominant guard with no defense. Okay. And that may be what Peterson does too. But at some point, like you just can accumulate talented players that can score and do these things. I'll be surprised if they're not in on him. I think you can make it work. They just need some dudes. Now, can you get him to play the level of defense that he'll need to play? I don't know. Like that gets a little more complicated. It's hard to know because, and this is no offense intended to Penny Hardaway, but the way Haggerty would be coached will be very different at Kansas than he was at Memphis, right? Memphis would be more, I would imagine, like an NBA environment, right? He take the ball, go ISO, go score. We all, you know, you always hear NBA defense, blah, 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 blah. No. Like, so is it the right fit stylistically with Peterson? What I don't want to do, Tommy, what scares me a little bit, and I know you, and I'm pro Darren Peterson, don't get me wrong. I think putting all your eggs into the basket of a freshman, remember Quentin Grimes? Like, I think you got to be careful with that.
Yeah, and Quentin Grimes wasn't the primary ball handler, though. I mean, he was expected to go in and shoot.
I mean, putting too many expectations on a freshman, right? You just don't know how it translates.
Have you watched this incoming freshman play? Have you seen any of his?
Well, yeah, I've seen lots of
throwing up like nearly 50 points in high school games. I mean, like the dude is as sure of a thing coming into Kansas as any,
he's not a good player. I just
as anybody has been.
Grady Dick was the Gatorade National Player of the Year. He got to Kansas and he shot threes. Right? Like, so I want to be careful. I just want to be careful if there are opportunities to get proven college players to want too much out of a freshman, I guess. I just want to be careful with it. Not saying it doesn't fit. I think Darren Peterson's going to end up being the primary scorer for Kansas. Don't get me wrong. But it's not going to hurt if you've got a couple of guys who can go get you buckets, especially based on what we've seen out of Kansas the last couple of years. Like, they've needed that desperately. They need guys that can go get them buckets. That's what they've lacked.
And that's
so
what Darren
much.
Peterson does. Like, Darren Peterson is a
guy.
He's a shot creator. He's an offense creator. He goes and he gets buckets. That has been, I would argue, that over the last 2 years for Kansas, that's been the biggest thing that the Jayhawks have lacked, has been somebody to go and create their own shot. it's been either feed the ball down low to Hunter Dickinson or give the ball to somebody to try to shoot a three, and that really hasn't been successful for them. They hadn't had anybody. Like, that strategy didn't work. They have not had anybody in the last couple of years that can go and get them a bucket. Like, just go and make it happen.
I agree.
And that's Darren Peterson. That's his game. That's always been his game. I don't care if he's a freshman or if he's 35 years old. Like, that's been his game.
But right now, he's the only guy on the roster that does that.
One's better than zero. One's better than none.
No. I'm not. You're. I think we're agreeing. I think. Like, I'm saying, go get another one of those guys, is what I'm saying with Haggerty. Go get a couple of guys that can go get you buckets. You know, don't put everything into, like, if we know that's been the problem for this team for a while, they're not going to generate offense in the post the way that they have for the last 2 years, really the last 3 years or four. So if you're not going to do that, and they're not based on what they have right now, that's not what Flory Badunga is going to do.
I don't think that's what you want Flory Badunga to do anyway.
No, he's not taking 18 shots a game like Hunter. That's not going to happen. So, okay, then where is that offense going to come from? And that's where I think you see a guy like Haggerty who can get buckets. Put him out there with Peterson. Now you got two guys that can go get buckets. Because guess what? They still don't have great shooters on this team. So why not go get another one, is what I'm saying. Don't not go after a guy like Haggerty because he does some of the same things as Peterson, I think is my point. Go get them both. Go get two guys that can go get you buckets. How many NBA teams right now, Tommy, are filled up with guys who can go get buckets, and that's it, right? If you've got two guys that can isolate defenders, like, I think that's what I mean. Like, don't just because Peterson does some of the similar things, don't let that say, well, they don't need Haggerty, they have Peterson. Go get them both.
Go look at a team.
My point.
Go look at a team like Florida, right? The national champion. Or go look at a team like Auburn, or a team like Alabama. And I know that all three of those are SEC teams, but those teams, they had players and they have players that just go and get buckets. Like, that's what they do. That's what they're built on. You know, playing quick, playing fast, but then creating offense. And that's been, I mean, it was as simple as watching. I remember when Alabama played Auburn, watching them play in conference play. And I'm like, man, this is night and day different than what the Jayhawks do. And it's explosive and it's powerful and all of that. And Kansas is running their set. You know, they're throwing it down to Dickinson and then, you know, playing inside out. And it's like they had one identity, one strategy, and it didn't work. And so I think now, of course, you've got to shift and you've got to look at, okay, who can go out there and create some offense and get us some buckets?
Think about Houston. Okay, Houston's a perfect example. What was Houston's offense? This is one of the great teams we've seen lately that should have won a national championship, perhaps. What was their offense? Their offense was give the ball to Cryer or Sharp and just let him go.
Let him create.
That was their offense. And that was a team that should have just won the national championship. So go get Haggerty and let that be your offense. I have no problem with that. And then have everybody else be dogs, right? That can play defense. Like, I love that idea. So go get Haggerty with Peterson. That's all I'm saying. Like, don't let that scare you away. I'm intrigued by that. I think it's a great idea. We'll come back. We got another hour. We got to talk Royals. We got to talk Chiefs. Talked yesterday. We'll have it all for you coming up.